After you listen to Vic, Cozzy and Limo, don't forget to buy your ticket in the St. John Christmas Home Lottery before midnight this Sunday to win big. Check out stjohnlottery.com.au. Vic, Cozzy
and Limo, SAFM. Recently, didn't bang on about it, I had an opportunity to appear on The Project, which is something on Channel 10 that I've always wanted to do. And so many people have said to me since, oh my God, how was it? And I have just had to say, I was so nervous in about the week before, the night before I didn't sleep. And to be honest, it actually detracted from my experience on the actual desk because the nerves did not go away. I was petrified. I
couldn't tell watching it.
Thank you. And I think I did hide it, but I was so sick. My heart was racing. Mm. I felt like I was going to throw up.
Imagine if you did.
I know. And then I thought, well, at least I'd go viral. And the night before, I just kept thinking, I'm going to stuff it up. Yeah. I'm going to suck at it.
Oh, yeah. You can get inside your own head.
Oh, it was real. The self-doubt and the...
There is no doubt about that. And everyone gets really nervous at some point. I mean, there's a classic bit of Jerry Seinfeld stand-up where he talks about fears.
I saw a thing, actually, a study that said speaking in front of a crowd is considered the number one fear of the average person. I found that amazing. Number two was death. Death is number two? This means to the average person, if you have to be at a funeral, you would rather be in the casket than doing the eulogy.
It's so true. And we all work in the media. We do this stuff a lot. But I still get really nervous at things like that. And then, Limo, you confess the same.
Yes. People often say to me, oh, because I've been doing stand-up comedy for nearly 30 years now. And people say, oh, do you still get nervous? I say, absolutely, every single gig. And if I don't get nervous, I actually start to get worried
that
I'm not thinking about it and I'm not in the zone properly. But I went through a period a few years ago where my anxiety was so bad leading up to gigs that I'd be driving to a gig hoping for some reason that it would be cancelled and I wouldn't have to do it.
I'm so surprised by that.
Yeah, so the anxiety beforehand. I love being on stage.
Yeah.
Nothing I love more. But that anxiety, I went through a period where it was really bad before I managed to get on stage.
How did you get out of it?
We're
just brilliant. Just kept killing it.
This actually
just through sheer genius.
This actually explains why your shows have been so bad.
Oh,
I'm joking. Oh, the look on your face.
Do you get nervous, Cos, when you do MC jobs? Or?
I do get nervous. Like things like, you know, when I get on the scales. And there's that weight where you're not even sure. Have I gone over the range of what these scales
can be? Yeah, yeah.
But it happens to everyone.
Well, yeah, when you're on stage, I mean, that can be the loneliest place in the world if it's not going well.
Oh,
and there's a whole bunch of people staring at
you. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Oh.
I always like to have a script.
Kathy in Para Hills, what makes you nervous?
I do a little bit of public speaking for survivors teaching students. So with our ovarian cancer experiences, we talk to medical students and tell our stories, and I still get nervous every time, and I'm really nervous now.
Yes. Oh,
but Kathy, that's why it's good that you've called up, because this helps with your nerves and you sound beautiful on air. You've got a great voice. So job done.
I keep doing it.
Yeah, but you always feel good afterwards, don't you? Once you confront those nerves and get through it.
And also, Kathy, you're doing it for the greater good as well, so you always got to remember that. What an incredible message you're passing on to people. So, thank you.
Well done. Michelle in Glenelg, when do you get nervous?
Hi. I get nervous doing job interviews these days.
Oh, yeah. You feel so kind of under investigation with a job interview, don't you? When's your last one, Michelle? What did you apply for?
So it was probably about 18 months ago. I'm just doing a role as a secondment, but if it comes up as a full-time job, I'd have to do the interview again. And I just can't find examples. I used to be much more confident when I was younger. But as I get older, it gets worse.
I agree, because I think when you're older, you worry about the consequences. When you're young, you're like, if I don't get this job, whatever. It's not a big deal. But the older you get, the more value you place on things. And job interviews, they always ask weird questions like, what are your weaknesses?
Oh, no.
A perfectionist.
Do you know what I say? You know,
perhaps a bit too reliable.
What are your weaknesses? I go, petty theft.
Lock the stationery cupboard.
Emma in Selig Beach, when do you get nervous?
Actually talking on the phone.
Oh,
so good on you for calling.
I also have to talk on the phone for work, but my whole family know not to call me because I won't answer the phone.
What is it? Is it the start of the conversation, Emma, or what don't you like about it?
I think it's just the whole thing. To be honest, I actually thought about not calling, and then when I did get through, I was like, oh my God. So I've got huge butterflies right now, but yeah, talking on the phone just scares the absolute crap out of me.
Do you know what, Emma? Someone told me something once. This is like 20 years ago, and I remember it every single time I answered the phone. They said, whenever your phone's ringing and you're about to pick up your phone, you should always smile before you talk. And that smile somehow makes your voice at the start of your, when you say hello, it makes you sound happier, and it's a nice way to start a conversation. When I said that, my voice broke.
Hello, please.
Well, good on you, Emma.
I always say, Emma, thank you for calling through. We really appreciate it. On that, because I try to always start phone conversations with, g'day, legend.
Yeah.
How are you, superstar? Or just something like that to kick it off in a happy way. Steph in Port Adelaide, what makes you nervous?
So I work in a regulatory services industry, so think police but not police. Mm-hmm. And I tell you now, the nerves I get every time I have to tell someone they've done something wrong or they're going to be getting a fine or something is the most uncomfortable thing in the whole world.
I often think that, like a parking inspector or a police officer, I would feel very horrible about issuing someone a fine and ruining someone's day. That would make me feel very bad.
And some of the information that I have to give to people is not nice at all. And, you know, you're dealing with people in heightened situations, so you just don't know how people are going to react, but it doesn't mean you're not nervous. So
Yeah, that means you care, though, I think. When you've got nerves, it means you care, because I've dealt with some cops who have enjoyed telling me off. Yeah. Anna in Wollonga, what makes you nervous?
Picking a partner at the gym.
Oh, yes, I hate that.
Hang on, so when do you have to pick a partner at the gym?
So every class, it's always partner training. And if my friend doesn't go and I have to pick a partner, I'm so scared of not getting kicked or everyone being
Anna, I wouldn't go to that class. I just wouldn't go.
Or having one that's super fit and you can't keep up with them and you feel like a loser.
No, just the first bit, if they don't pick you, if everyone else gets a partner and you're left, they're like back at school.
I know that. Yeah.
Hey, mate, you're talking to a kid that was overweight at school. I was picked last for everything up to about year eight.
I get it, Anna. Thank you. Last word to you, Tracy in Modbury Heights. What makes you nervous?
Well, I'm a psychotherapist and a counsellor, and I still get nervous when I'm sitting in front of a client.
In front of a client?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But, you know what? As Beck said, I think it means you care, Tracy.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that we, you know, you were talking before about people judging you. People have expectations on you, don't they?
Yes.
And kind of go, am I going to meet these expectations?
So are you nervous that you're not going to be able to give them the right advice, or what part of it makes you nervous?
Well, yeah, it's about whether or not, exactly right, I'm going to be able to meet them where they need to be met and help them the way they need to be helped. You know, so you get in your head,
So even psychologists get in their own head. Wow.
Yeah, and if you do have really serious issues, then who do you see?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it turns out you just ring SAFM.
Yeah. There you go.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Well, I will just say straight off the bat, we've got to get through this show as quick as we can.
Sure.
Beck has a Prosecco launch.
Wow.
It's a lunch at 12. If we can get through this.
It's Prosecco, and don't trivialise my events in my life.
That's the
I'm
drink, isn't it?
I'm looking forward to it. It's an Italian sparkling wine.
Right. It's an Italian sparkling wine. What are they launching today? Is it a new...
It's a Langhorne Creek. I'm supporting the local wine industry.
And she's wearing a trench coat. What are you going to try to steal some bottles on the way out of something, mate?
No, because when you put this trench coat on, you get go-go gadget arms. So you can actually grab a couple off the shelf on your way out.
I can see where you've hung your T-shirt on the clothesline again, Limo, if I can have a comeback to you.
I love your lash out return.
I get really angry and I just deflect.
It's so good and so predictable. You're old, you're fat, and then expects a laugh. The question is,
there are creases in your clothes.
Limo, do you reckon she's actually invited to this Prosecco launch?
Oh. I'm just going to be pressed up against the window in my little bag to take
Let me in.
Go and just pass me a glass.
No, that's a big thing that's happening. So we're going to try to belt through the show.
Yeah, okay.
So that we can get you off to the Prosecco launch.
We'll leave together at 9:15.
As soon as we can.
Prosecco.
I find it very hard to say, like, Worcestershire sauce.
Which is funny, you should mention that. I'm off to a Worcestershire sauce.
I'm going to a Worcestershire sauce launch.
All right.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bec, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Bec's Bits.
Oh, a big shout out to Restaurant Botanic, which is in the Botanic Garden, that has just won the title of the best restaurant in the whole of Australia.
Well, number one in the country.
Number one in the country. I've never been.
Well, that explains why that red panda left the Adelaide Zoo and was heading that way.
I went to a mate's wedding there many years ago now. But I'd kind of, to be honest, half forgotten about that restaurant hiding away in the Botanic Garden.
Coup. And another award, Best New Talent Award, going to the two SA chefs behind Muni in Wollonga. So if you're looking for some special occasions to celebrate, congratulations. And another new restaurant popping up in Adelaide's East End. We are getting a Karen's Diner. We've seen them across the border.
Oh, yes.
The waitresses and the managers are basically Karens. So you're going to... You're going to get poor service, but in a fun way.
You deliberately get bad service type thing.
They're rude.
They're rude, but that's part of the fun.
It's part of the fun. It's a bit like, you know, they've had faulty towers themed restaurants before where the staff are deliberately kind of incompetent and rude.
So you could actually pay to go somewhere where people treat you terribly. Yes. Maybe I could like rent out an hourly rate at my house where you could come around to my house and my wife will whinge and nag and terrify you for an hour. And then you give me like $30.
Yeah, and then she puts food on the table for you every night. Okay, we had a massive development in the space race. You were so excited about this. You're such a space nerd.
That's Armageddon.
Yeah, it's the Armageddon movie. Or Don't Look Up, that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, which ended with the world ending because an asteroid collided with Earth and nobody took it seriously. Well, in case this ever happens in the future, NASA ran the DART test, the double asteroid redirection test. They sent a rocket.
let's call it a DART.
Which made an impact with an asteroid enough to divert it off course enough that it would avert.
Did it work?
It worked.
It's unbelievable. This made me laugh, though, when I was watching the news last night.
It sounds like a science fiction plot, but this is, in fact, very real. NASA has flown an unmanned spacecraft into an asteroid on purpose.
On purpose? If it was an accident, it was actually headed to Mars, but hit an asteroid on the way.
But I just loved how excited everyone watching in NASA HQ was.
DART, the double asteroid redirection test, were the world's first planetary defence mission to prove one day they could save the planet.
Humanity won, asteroids zero.
That's so
good. She worked on that line for a long time.
I don't know. Should we be shooting asteroids? Or should we just leave them alone unless they're going to hurt us?
Have you seen the picture of it?
No. If they're going to hit Earth, we probably need to
hit first.
If you've got an asteroid that's like 100 kilometres wide, that's the end of...
Yeah.
That's the end. We're all gone. That's the end of humanity.
Yeah, what a way to go. We all go together.
Yeah, well, that is true. But you know they do more of these tests. So that was the DART out of NASA.
Have you got some more?
Here we go.
True story. They're doing, you know, our space thing out of Pasadena. Pasadena. We've launched rockets.
From Woomera?
Yes. No, not Woomera. It's out Pasadena where we've launched rockets before.
Sorry for not being across rocket launch venues.
We interviewed a journalist who was there.
That's right.
Okay. It's going to be called the Defensive Ultrasonic Redirection Rocket Initiative.
Yeah.
Or DURI.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bec, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Rent, mortgage, groceries, petrol, all covered. Let's talk about live stress-free. Let's talk about live stress-free. Let's talk about stress. SAFM's Live Stress-Free in 2023.
Hello again, it's producer Nicole with those daily times to call Bec, Cozzy and Limo to get yourself on that official shortlist to live stress-free in 2023. Tomorrow morning, have 13, 10, 60 ready to go just before 7:45 and 8:45. We'll chat to you then.
If Neil Diamond songs are what you like, hear Ricky Sheridan perform, that might interest you as well, cause Hugh Sheridan's here.
Oh, he's here now, and he's bringing his Neil Diamond tribute show to Adelaide in December. I'm so happy.
What was that intro? It was so good. Can I make that my phone ring?
Please.
Solitary man, Neil Diamond. What a man. I love him.
What a man.
What a man. Neil Diamond, Hugh Sheridan.
What man? men together.
More men. I know. Well, has anyone ever seen us in the same room?
Oh, yeah. No. Is Neil Diamond still alive? Pardon my ignorance.
He is. He is. But he's unfortunately he has Parkinson's, so he can't. He can no longer perform. Therefore, I'm stepping into the Diamond shoes.
Wow.
The Diamantes.
Yeah. Leather pants.
Oh yeah, mate. Yeah, oh, leather pants.
With some talcum powder.
Anything else?
A rhinestone cowboy. Stepping out.
Neil Diamond.
I'm
going to
be wearing a bit of crunchy granola.
Rattle off a few of your favorites.
Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline.
Bump, bump, bump.
Look, you know what?
Are you singing a lyric?
Are you doing your own trumpet for the show?
No, I was being the crowd that. Good times never seem good.
So good, so good, good. So good.
Oh, yeah, I missed a bit there, mate. Really. I wasn't ready for it. And I only sing that song when I'm drunk.
You're going to have to practice that one before we take over the Festival Theatre and really lower the tone of that beautiful establishment.
I have a little bone to pick with you because Adelaide wasn't on the initial list. Did we have to like campaign to get you here for solitary?
Well, I did most of that campaign, to be honest. No, because it's kind of ironic because I actually perform in Adelaide more than anywhere else.
We love you.
Everywhere else is always like Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane. They're like, why don't you bring the shows here? And I'm like, well, because I love coming home to Adelaide to perform. So this time Adelaide wasn't included. I campaigned and we found that the Festival Theatre was going to be available and it was perfect timing. It's my favourite stage in Australia. It's my hometown and it's going to be a killer show by then because I would have had dress rehearsals at the Sydney Opera House and all the other
You'd be all polished up because you're lucky that the Festival Theatre became available because Lima and I actually cancelled our show. It was a Torval and Dean reenactment. It was too hard. Lima couldn't lift me in the end and it was worth it.
I had a Torval and Dean tracksuit that I was wearing yesterday.
A parachute?
It was just after I took off my blue pajamas.
It was underneath the whole time.
No, I had it over the top, but I certainly love my Torval and Dean. I'll be Torval, you be Dean.
The people who are interested, Cosy and I'll hopefully revisit that show for the Fringe next
Fingers
year.
Crossed. We'll
see. Well, why don't you just bring it into Solitary Man? I mean, I need a break at some point.
A little bit of a halftime entertainment.
A bit of a triple axle.
Yes, you could do a beautiful Torval and Dean to You Don't Bring Me Flowers, and it would just be an instrumental. Petals falling.
I come across the stage doing one of those manoeuvres where I'm just up on one skate with the other leg pointing straight.
I think you should do one of the ones where you crouch down.
You spin.
Spinning out of control.
What happens then is Cos skates into my arms and we perform our world famous move, the broken axle.
I think what we're knowing here is that if you come to the show, don't sit in the front row. Could be hazardous, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, mate, it looks like an absolute hoot. The Adelaide Festival Theatre kicking off Thursday, December the 8th. Tickets go on sale October the 4th, so get yourself there. Solitarymen.com.au for all the bookings. Sheridan, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. I love you guys. You're the best.
Thank you, mate.
Thank you.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
This is Breaking News.
We like to use the skills of Rebecca Morse's newsreader voice, and here's how we do it. She reads out song lyrics in the newsreader voice, and you guys have to determine what song and artist it is. Two people on the line ready to play, Stephen from Hope Valley and Abby from Greenacres. Good morning, guys. Let's
Good
get
morning.
Started.
Morning.
Good All luck. Right. Your names are your buzzers, team.
This just in.
I threw a wish in the well. Don't ask me. I'll never tell. I look to you.
Abby, yes. What is it?
Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae
Jepsen. You got it, Abby.
What a track.
Well done.
What an absolute track. Call me maybe. Cool. Well done, Abby. That was an early get.
What does she mean by call me maybe? Does she want to be called or not?
Well, she means call me maybe.
She's been cash about it, you know, not too desperate.
Call me.
Cool. Whatever.
All right, Lemo, how the rules?
Abby, if you get this one, you win. Okay. Stephen, you need this one to stay in the game.
This just in.
This is how we do it. It's Friday night and I feel all right. The party is here. On the west side. So I reach for my 40 and I turn it up.
Oh, yeah.
Designated
Stephen?
Driver.
Yeah. Stephen.
Yes, Stephen.
This is how we do it, Montel Jordan.
Oh, you got it. You got it.
Great song.
Okay.
Of course, the first line was, this is how we do it.
That took a while for him to get. I thought that would be an easy one.
So this is where we're at. Whoever gets this one right, of course, wins. But if you answer and get it wrong, the other person wins.
Okay.
That's where we're at. Good luck.
Title and artist.
This is a tricky one. This just in. When the stars began to fall right out of the sky and the seas were rising up, I had one thing in mind. It was you. It was you.
Oh, right.
It was you.
Okay, it was you.
It was you.
Okay, we get it.
The problem is the song is not called It Was You. Does anyone know, does anyone know the artist?
We interviewed this guy recently.
We did. It's on high rotation.
Aussie guy lives in Spain. Yeah.
Let's go with the artist. We'll just, if you can give us the artist.
The day Abby? Began.
Yes, Abby.
Yeah. Is it Joel Corey, the artist?
Oh, no.
No. Incorrect answer. Right, does that mean?
It is Vance Joy Clarity.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to find another song.
No. We.
Which means, no, that's a win for Stephen.
That's a win for Stephen.
Right on, buddy.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Cozzy's got a question. Yeah, Cozzy's got a question. And it's kind of
I disagree with that opener. However, I do have a question for South Australians this morning. Does your partner buy crap lollies? Like, is there a type of lolly they buy where you just see it at home and you go, what the hell do you buy that lolly for? If you do, 131060, give us a call. A day out in the vineyard for free, up for grabs. But you need to tell us, what's the crap lolly that your partner buys? Okay. I talk about this because my wife, Sam, lovely, 40-something-year-old, you know, funky little chick, got it all happening.
Funky little chick.
Just trying to think of some nice stuff to say about him for a bag of
Yeah.
Like, she buys the worst lollies. Like, the other day, she got out of her purse a packet of Jubes. A packet of Jubes. And I was like, she's like, do you want a Jube?
Yeah.
I go, a Jube? Are you 75?
What is she? Is she a regular Jube eater?
I've seen her with them before.
Yeah.
And what would you have her produce? Some Hague's Freckles?
Or... Freddo, Fairy Friends, you know.
Cheeseburger.
That was what was in my bag. Because that's not a handbag. That's just a takeaway bag.
I've got to say, Kel and I are pretty much on the same page.
Oh, see, that's good.
See, our go-to treat lollies will be Freckles, Jaffas or M&M's.
And we peanut M&M, you can't beat it.
Peanut M&M, yes, absolutely. And that's what we always,
go-tos. I could live in that relationship, and I understand. So in this example, you wouldn't be calling up SAFM on 131060, Rebecca Morse. You're a minty.
I like a minty. We only buy lollies for special occasions. We don't really have a lolly jar in our house, but that would be fun.
They signify fun, don't they?
That would be fun. But if we have like a movie night.
Or it's Christmas.
Yeah. Or it's his birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, peanut M&Ms or some sour snakes.
Sour
snake, you know.
All right. Well,
I'll buy you some.
Throw it over to the people south of Australia. Okay. Day out in the vineyards to give away for free. 131060. What's the lolly that your partner buys that you just go, what is that? Lindsay from Port Norlunga, you can kick us off. Lindsay, what's the lolly that your husband buys?
He buys eucalyptus cough lollies.
Oh, see, that's a great example, Lindsay. Yes. Why?
And does he have them all the time, Lindsay, even when he doesn't have a cough?
All the time, every day, and he takes them to bed and he has them on the side cupboard.
I'd say, Lindsay, you've reminded me of a friend of mine who often will be out together and he'll say, do you want a fisherman's friend?
Oh, I can't believe that.
No, I don't want a fisherman's friend.
I was just thinking about the fisherman's friends. Are they still around?
Yes.
They blow your head off, the fisherman's friend.
Aaron from Hunterfield Heights, what do you got for us, mate?
Yeah, my partner grabs the packets of Warheads and opens the lemon ones and dumps them in our lolly tin to try and catch people out to get the sour lollies.
Oh, wow.
That's evil.
Yeah. Right. They're all right once the powder's gone, but
Oh, yeah. I used to enjoy the powder on those, but yes, good call.
I don't think I've ever had one. What are the good lollies in your jar, Aaron, then, the ones that you want to get to?
Strawberries and cream.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice one. Yes.
Can I ask you a question, Aaron? And I don't want to get too personal, mate, because we've only just met. You know, you got your strawberries and cream, then you got that orange and cream one.
Oh, peaches and cream.
Yeah, peaches and cream.
Oh, that's good gear.
Where do you stand there, Aaron?
No, don't mess with strawberries and cream.
That's what I reckon. Yeah. That's what I reckon.
So when you get, Aaron, when you get an Alan's party mix, are the strawberries and cream's the first ones out, or do you go for milk bottles, bananas, snakes?
No, always first ones out.
Yeah.
Always.
Do you ever spend some time thinking about how Alan's decided who would go in the party mix? Mm. Like, did they take all the lollies to a Christmas show and whoever behaved the worst gets in the party mix? Like, what did the banana do that night to end up in that bag?
But to me, it's a privilege to be in the party mix.
Oh, yeah.
I think they would. The lollies would have each put submissions in.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously the teeth missed out on the current one. They're in the old school bag.
Yeah. And do you reckon Beck would have got in the party mix?
I knew you were going to. I'm good at a Christmas party.
You are good. You're a lot of fun.
Once a year, I let my hair down.
You do. You really, and you're really nice to people. I reckon that would have landed you straight in the party mix.
Yes, there you go.
Retro party mix.
Retro. You can talk. Yes.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bec, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Hey, what would you do if you found $58 million in your bank account?
Oh, Beck had asked where the other 50 is.
I think it was just payday.
Payday. Well, Cos, if you found $58 million in your bank account?
Oh, mate, what would you do? I tell you what I'd do. I'd buy this station and fire you two.
Oh, right. Okay. Money well spent.
And then I'd realise that I have no one to spar with.
I'm going to have to rehire them.
And the whole show would just be country music and you talking about pigs.
Coming up next, sheep prices.
People calling them with mill deals. So remember earlier this year, there was a woman in Melbourne who accidentally received $10.5 million from crypto.com.
That's right.
She went and bought a house and all this other stuff. Then she got sued by crypto, had to give the whole lot back, and now I think she might be struggling a little bit now. Well, this dude with $58 million gave it straight back to the bank. And his partner complained. She wrote on Twitter, "My boyfriend woke up with $58 million as someone else's money in his bank account this morning, and rather than take the money and run, he opted to call the bank and tell them of their error."
Boring.
We could be living on an island right now. She said, but you know what? Of course you're going to give the money back because you have to. The bank's going to catch
exactly,
up with you.
Exactly.
You know but what you do is you stall it for as long as you can.
And get the interest.
Because I did the maths on the interest.
Oh, you're such an accountant. Right.
That's $4,700 a day.
In interest.
In interest.
Yeah.
So let's hear it comes.
Yeah.
So even if you can stall them, let's say you stall them for 2 days.
Yes.
That's nearly 10 grand.
Mate. No, bank calls you, tells you you need to come in urgently, we've made a mistake. You go, can't, COVID, 7 days.
Yes. 7 days.
Well, it's 5 now, but.
Well, it was just a joke in the first place.
All right. Well, let's go with 5 days.
5 days. Okay.
Still 20 grand.
So that's like 20. That's 24 grand.
Yeah.
By just saying COVID.
COVID. Yeah. Long COVID.
I've got long COVID.
6 months. How long? Can you two agree on this? Yeah. How long's long COVID?
No, six to 12 months. I'm going to have long COVID for the rest of my life. Every time I get to the top of the stairs, long COVID.
Right. Yeah. Let's call it 6 months. So that's 180 days. Wow. I'm going to work it out. 180. Oh, okay. Times 4,700 off the top of your head.
She says over like
look
600
at you,
grand.
Your calculator wraps right at the top
times
of your screen. 4,700.
$846,000.
Done.
There you go. But, he's an idiot not for giving it back. He's an idiot for giving it back straight away.
I like how she suggests they could be living on an island had he not given the money back. Like, does she think they would have never got caught? Like, yeah, you might have been on an island, but it would have been Alcatraz.
Well, Australia's an island. They were living on an island.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bec, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Well, this is where we are at right now.
It's the waiting game 11 million Australians did not sign up to play. Sitting ducks in possibly the worst data breach in our history.
Well, we need to get in an expert to help us understand this data breach and what it means for Optus customers and the rest of us, for that matter, from EFTM.com. And he's a tech guy on the Today Show. Trevor Long, good morning. How did this happen?
This happened really simply, to be honest. It appears that this a hacker and possibly others literally just found an open door, walked through it and grabbed a bunch of data. It really doesn't appear to have been a sophisticated hack. In fact, it's really just an accessing of data illegally.
So they've taken 11 million loads of personal data and personal details. And what are they saying? They want $1 million and then they'll destroy it.
That's what they said on the weekend, $1 million in cryptocurrency, US dollars, so about 1.5 million Australian. Yesterday, they released another 10,000 lines of example data, and I've looked at it. It's legit. It includes Medicare numbers. It's scary stuff. But then middle of the day yesterday, they went, oh, we're really sorry. We shouldn't have done this. It was a wrong thing to do. We're sorry to the people whose names we've released. And Optus, don't worry. You don't have to pay us. We've deleted the data.
Oh, really?
Now, I got to tell you, that sounds like a teenager that absolutely pooed their pants because the FBI rang them.
Yeah.
And let's be clear, there's no guarantee that was the only person with the data or that was the original hacker. So even though you'll see reports that the ransom has been withdrawn and the hacker has deleted data, your data's still out there, folks. It was accessible, and there are reports today that it was accessible as early as September 17th. So this has been going on for longer than Optus is even saying or knows.
All right, Trevor. Well, I'm an Optus customer with my home internet. Do I have to go out and get a new driver's license? Because I'm really busy.
Well, she is, mate, because at lunchtime today, she's got a Prosecco launch.
But honestly, how seriously should I be taking it?
Yeah, very seriously, cancel your nail appointments and get your new license, okay? Because the thing here is your driver's license, your passport, these are keys to your identity, right? And your identity can then be used to apply for credit on your behalf. So someone applies for a $10,000 credit card, buys a couple of MacBooks, defaults on that loan, and you try to refinance your house or get a credit card yourself, you got a black mark against your name. Oh. The people that need to do that are the people who got an email from Optus that said they were involved and that their ID documents were part of the compromise. Okay. So not everyone's ID documents were compromised, only a portion, which I believe to be around 3.6 million people. So it's still a huge drama.
So if your ID documents were compromised, you have to go out and get a new one of whatever they all were. So a new driver's license, a new Medicare card number, et cetera, et cetera.
That's the absolute safest thing to do. The other thing you can do is jump on the chat in the Optus app or on their website and ask them for identity protection, because they're offering a 12-month subscription to an identity protection company who will basically monitor for any activity on your credit application. So that's probably the quickest and easiest thing to do. But then you do need to wonder, like, how long is this going to go on for? Mm. Because your driver's license, if you keep the number, it stays forever. So at the very least, next time you renew your license, ask for a new number.
Hey, Trevor, my maths might be out here, but is 11 million customers out of 25 million people in Australia a lot of customers?
It's a lot, and it looks like Optus is really big, but it's customers going back to 2017 who might not even be with them yet anymore. So, for example, I got an Optus SIM card for 1 month when the iPhone 12 came out to test the 5G. Yeah, burner SIM for the 5G test,
yeah.
And I got breached. So, great stuff. They've got my driver's license because I was a customer for 1 month.
Yeah. Oh, well,
do we know where the hacker is located in the world?
The CEO of Optus said the hack appeared to originate from Europe, but that can be changed. It's quite easy. Mm. The broken English in the ransom demand indicates English is not a first language. Mm. The FBI's involvement kind of indicates that it could be in the Americas. So, no, we don't know, but it's certainly not an Aussie.
Now, I love the fact that they've come out and said, oh, okay, I'm sorry about that. Sorry, don't worry about it anymore. It does sound like someone that's just got in there and gone, oh my gosh, I've got all these details and what had a bit of fun, and then they've gone, uh-oh, now I'm in trouble.
I also think the ransom amount, which is, of course,
$1 million,
makes me think it's someone really young, because wouldn't you ask for $10 million, Trevor,
wouldn't you?
Or 20 or 30?
They're a $9 billion revenue company per year. So, it was unders.
Well and truly. Trevor Long from EFTM.com. And also you can catch Trevor on the Today Show. Thank you for your time.
Pleasure.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
There's been something I've been dying to tell you guys. About a month ago, my wife and I went to a friend's place. And we're having a few drinks there. And I went to the toilet. And they've got little kids. So I went to the toilet and I'm like, oh my gosh, there was like a ball in the toilet, like about the size of a ping pong ball. Okay. And I'm like, oh my gosh, one of the kids have chucked something in the toilet.
Yeah, right.
So I just had to do a P155. So I just You know, no, Wraith did
good
that.
To clarify which one.
So you left the ball in there?
Left the ball in there, peed on the side, like didn't. And then I, went, I went back to them.
None of it would have got on the ball.
Nah. I went back to them and go, oh, guys, I'd hate to tell you, one of your kids has thrown a ball in the toilet. And the dad goes, oh, no, that's a young fella. He's getting toilet trained. And I go, huh? And he goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a little floating ball that's in the toilet that he aims his pee at teach him to pee and hit the ball. And that teaches him to get the pee in the toilet. Yeah. I was like, oh, wow, I've never heard of that before.
God, I'm so glad I've got girls.
Yeah.
I am so doing this.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, the laissez-faire approach to our loo.
Okay.
From my God.
Turns out, right, 3 beers later, I need to go to the toilet again. Go back to the toilet. Now I know what the ball's for.
Oh, here we go.
I'm
you're into it.
What yeah.
What a sport.
I'm like, yeah, I was like Tom Cruise on Top Gun. Like, got it. No worries. How good's this? Driving on the way home in the Uber, I said to my wife, you reckon we could get one of those balls for our toilet?
Yeah, totally. I'm going to get one of those balls.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
But you get the wrong ball and you put like a basketball in there.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
From midnight tonight, the fuel excise that we have had some relief from will be whacked back onto the price per litre of petrol. What does that mean to you guys? Well, we're about to find out. Mark Borlase is on the line from RAA. He's the fuel guru. Hey, Mark, what actually happens at midnight tonight?
So at midnight tonight, any fuel tanker going to Birkenhead to fill up will pay for the new fuel price with the tax put back on it. So what's happened is up until last night and today, they're able to buy the fuel cheap, that is without the 25 cents, and they'll be, all the tanks in South Australia, we reckon, are probably going to be full to the gunnels with this cheap fuel. So the next time they'll have the dear fuel is whenever they run out and will have to replenish it. So we don't expect to see this 25 cents flow through to the market for at least a week. In some areas, it might be a couple of weeks.
Right. But, Mark, fast forward, let's say 2 weeks. How much more will we be paying for fuel per litre?
Well, if you look, we've just had a spike in the last day or so of $1.90. You put 25 cents on top of that. Mm. You've got $2.15 is probably where the new spikes are going to be. Mm. And the new lows will probably be around $1.75. But one little bit of good news is that world price of crude oil over the last 3 or 4 months has been gradually trending down, and that's because there's a bit more stability of what's going on with Ukraine and Russia. So we're not expecting the big spikes in international prices that we had before that drove us into this problem. And now we watch the ACCC, and we know the South Australian Consumer and Business Affairs are also out watching these service stations and looking at the data to see if any of them are prematurely trying to pass these costs off as being real cost.
Yeah. So how will we know when they're actually getting that more expensive fuel in the tank and that they're not just jacking it up a couple of days early? We won't.
Yeah. Well, there's a bit of a confounder because we have a price cycle, you know, and we're just at the top of one now. What it'll do, it'll affect probably the duration of the price cycle. And price cycles, whether you love them or hate them, there's only 4 cities in Australia that have them: us, Melbourne, Sydney, and Brisbane. And when they're at the bottom of the cycle, they're selling it for wholesale price. They're selling it for what they're taking out of Birkenhead. So if you're on a budget and you can sort of game their system, you can actually buy fuel pretty cheap if you play the game. But, you know, for people today, when this 25 cents does flow through, effectively that's another $15 to the cost of a fill-up for an average car.
Mm. Mate, your advice to motorists would be what?
If you've got a tanker full of the cheap stuff, make it last as long as you can.
Sell it in a week.
So if you can make it last a week, you should start to see some relief. Out in the country, the country prices are still 20 odd cents cheaper than city right now. So if you're out there and heading into Adelaide today, fill up at home.
Well done, mate. Mark Borlase from the RAA. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for your interest.
Cozzy and Limo, SAFM.